Just preach what God's laid on your heart, Brother Mike, and Lord bless you. I love this fan up here. You know, that's a great thing to have. Too bad you didn't have it up here Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, brother. You know, it was hotter than it is today, amen, but praise the Lord. But God's good, amen. We have a good time here, don't we? I just enjoy it. I enjoy this church. What we said, 17 years preacher. I've been coming here, and I've got some churches to meet you. I've been to a church. I got a church in Michigan. I'm going to be back there for two Sundays because they're without a pastor right now in September. I'm going to fill the pulpit for them and help them out a little bit. But I've been going there for 33 years, and I think the year before that, before I went into evangelism, I was there with them. So a lot of churches like that over the years, and little church down the floor, going 25 years, been with them. And, you know, a fellow got saved down there the first year I was down there in Florida at this one church. And, man, he still goes to church today, amen, all these years later, and just involved in the house of God. I wish you'd say that every time. Wouldn't it be great if every born-again believer, quote-unquote, that got saved during a meeting would be in church for the rest of their life, amen? That'd be a blessed thing. We don't see that all the time, do we? And it's good to be here again, and I sure appreciate it. My wife, again today, told me she was on her way back to Michigan from Ohio. She visited our son, and she said, make sure you tell everybody you said hello. And so, hello from Jenny, amen. And she's doing well. I found out today I'm going to have that inspection done on the house that we're purchasing. I don't have to have it because we're paying cash, only because somebody loaned us half of what we have, loaned us half again, interest-free. Amen. So I'm able to pay cash for the house. It's going to cost me $78,000. I found out that inspection is going to run me about $750. Amen. Because I've got everything I want done on that, and to make sure everything's up to snuff. I've looked at it myself, and there's not much work to do inside. But I want the septic and the well checked out and the water checked out and make sure everything's where it needs to be. So be in prayer for us about that. Boy, God's been good. And again, thank you, church, for your help in that, for the money you sent. What a blessing that is. And I know there's more coming from other churches yet and from other individuals, but we sure thank the Lord. You know, it's been 42 and a half years since we've owned a home. And so I've been in the ministry and sold out and never looked back. Amen. But God's been meeting some needs now. I want to look at 2 Corinthians with you, chapter 8 and part of chapter 9 tonight. And finish this up on the faith promise giving revival tonight, amen? Let's put it that way. I've done a lot of faith promise missions conferences over the years, and I think they all turn out to be revival meetings by the time I'm done, amen? But here this evening in the book of 2 Corinthians, I just want to go over some simple thoughts with you tonight, and I know you're getting ready to take up your cards. Is that correct, Pastor, this week, this coming Sunday? And we're getting ready to go into Faith Promise in our home church here in the end of October. End of October, 1st of November. And I thank the Lord for churches that are involved in Faith Promise. Some churches, our home church, gives a pretty good extensive amount. But for the size of our church, I always think that our church should do more than what they do. Because then when I come to a church like this, how much do you give a month, Pastor? What's the average?
$1,600
a month for just a handful of people, you know. So you're talking, what's that come out to? What? How much a year? Give me a quick.
$16,000.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's over $16,000, it'd be $19,200. I think is what that would come out to. And then my son-in-law's church runs about 20 or 25 people on an average, probably. On a good day, he might have 35. And I watched him, that small group, give $24,000, $25,000. And then I look at our home church of about 120, you know, or more sometimes, and we give $71,000. I'm thinking, something to me just does not seem, you know, amen. And so I'm always beating them up when I get back home. I've been in that church 37 years, so I let them have it, amen. But, you know, Faith Promise is next to my heart. I got involved in Faith Promise back in 1980, I believe it was 81 when I got involved with Faith Promise down in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And never heard of Faith Promise before that, and got down there. And then we came back to a church that does not do Faith Promise, and I just kept on giving the Faith Promise, amen. Even when we got there, just gave the missions, and I haven't missed since. We just give every year. We give and give and give to the missions, and I try to increase every year. I want to look at this text with you tonight. Would you stand with me just for a moment as we read? I know I'm babbling on, and I don't want to babble. I want to get into this. I babble enough when I'm into it, let alone before I get started, amen. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, he said, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Now, Father, thank you for your precious word tonight, and I pray, God, that you would use this again to speak to our hearts and challenge us anew, Father. Father, challenge us not just in our giving, but, Father, giving ourselves, Lord, completely to you in our witnessing and in our attitudes, Father. And God, when we come to the house of God to worship you, that we are giving to you, Lord, this act of worship out of our lips, Father, this praise and this thanksgiving that you tell us to do in the book of Hebrews, dear God. I pray that you would help each one of us, Father, to honor and glorify you with our lives. We give the praise and thanks now, Father, for someone that's not saved here tonight. Please touch that heart in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You say sometimes, somebody says, "Brother Mike, why would you say that every time you pray that if somebody's here?" You never know who's outside on the street listening, amen. I've seen when I was in out in New England many years ago, I was in a little church in downtown, just outside of Hartford, and a little dinky church, we might have had 50 people in there, but a lot of them were kids sometimes that would come in, and preaching, and they had a speaker outside the door, because it was an old building that had, I don't know what they used that building for at one time, a speaker out there, and people started complaining because the preaching's going out on the street, and they didn't like that downtown there it wasn't Manchester, it couldn't be a little bit here, my mind just wanders anymore, but anyway, we're down and around the corner across the street, everybody was complaining about this, so they came to the preacher and said, "You need to take that speaker down." He said, "I'll tell you what I do. When you go around the corner and get that music store to shut the stinking rock music off while we're trying to have services, we'll take our speaker out." But that probably ain't going to happen, so our speaker's going to stay, amen. And we actually had people would hear what's going on, and people would come into the church. We had some get saved, amen. So you never know who's listening to the message, no matter where you're at. Who knows? Amen. Who knows? Yeah. We're praying. Amen. We're praying right there. Amen. So who knows what they hear, what they don't hear. Amen. And hopefully one day, you know, I told him a couple of years ago, I said, "I pray for you." And he said, "Why would you pray for me?" And I said, "Because I'm praying that you'll get saved." You know, I'm praying. And that sort of stopped everything right there. Amen. And I told her the same thing, you know, before. And how many years? 17 years I've been telling them that, preacher. So maybe one year. This one year, hallelujah. Yeah. Maybe one year it'll take with them. I went over and spent some time yesterday with them on their porch over there. Before I came into church last night, I saw them sitting out there, and they invited me over to sit down and talk with them a little bit, you know. And I love motorcycles, amen. But what a shop he has there, amen. He's got some antiques over there he rebuilt. Beautiful bikes, Harleys, you know. And I think he's got Harleys. He's got something else over there, too. An Indian, I think he's got over there, I believe. And some nice bikes. Well, let me get back to the message, which I have rabbit trails from. Well, I don't chase rabbits anymore, but bunnies are cute, amen. So, Faith Promise Giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, I'm going to look at a couple of things before we share scripture with you and tell you just a couple of things that's in my mind and in my heart about this. Again, in verse 2, he says, "How that in a great trial," he's talking about these churches of Macedonia, "and a trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty and abounded unto the riches of their liberality, for it to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us," what? "With much entreaty." Much entreaty. And we'll talk about a little bit here, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now, isn't that what we do with missions? we send missionaries out, people to get saved, people to be ministered to. You send evangelists out, you send missionaries out, you help. You're helping two church plants right now here in New York. Am I correct about that? Here in New York, helping two church plants to do what? To get people saved, that they would learn. It's much what. That's what Bible college does, teaching young men and young women how to go out. And you say, well, they learn that in their church. No, but they get something at Bible college that they're not going to get anywhere else. And they'll get something in church that they're not going to get anywhere else. Amen. That's why God instituted the house of God and instituted these programs for us to be able to use to His honor, to His glory. Well, number one, faith promise giving, it goes beyond what you think is even possible. It goes beyond what you think is possible. I try to add every year to our faith promise. In fact, I have added every year to our faith promise. I don't think there was one year years ago, I think it was around 08, Pastor, when the economy was just shot. Boy, I want to tell you what, everything was going up and income was not going up with the economy, you know, when they had that big recession in 08. And I was paying out in Maine, I was paying $4.96 a gallon for diesel fuel for my truck. That's that, and when you're talking back in that truck would hold 115 gallons, amen. And so, and I usually ran it down to where I had to put 100 gallons in at a time. You know, that $400 bill eats up pretty quick. Almost $500 bill eats up pretty quick with that thing. But you know, even then, I think that was the only time when I did not increase immediately. And I turned my card into our home church that fall, and immediately God smote my heart. He said, you didn't do right. So I took another card and I put in the extra and put my name on there and told Pastor, you're going to see two cards for me. That's because I didn't obey God the first time. Amen. You see, I think that here's the question I want to ask you. You're talking about faith promise. Did you pray about what you should give this year? Did you pray about it? Because I'm finding out people, sometimes they just do the same thing that they've always done. And then if you do the same thing you always did, how are you going to add missionaries? How are you going to take on somebody that comes through and has such a burden in his heart, and you sit in your pew and you listen to what they're saying, and you're sitting and you're hearing what they're saying, and all of a sudden in your heart you think, man, I wish we could support them. Well, give. Amen. Give. Just add a little bit more to it. And do what God would have you to do. Last year I was preaching, Pastor, and I was preaching, and I said, I always add to mine, and I said, you know, it probably wouldn't hurt if some of you would just add 5%, you know. I think you said about 10% the other day. I said, you know, it wouldn't hurt if somebody just added 5%. And I'm in a pulpit, and I'm thinking, well, you stinking hypocrite, you know. You weren't going to add 5% this year. So I confessed it right there. I said, folks, I'm telling you what to do. And I said, God just convicted my wicked heart. I got to increase my faith promise by 5% this year, amen. And God said, I'm not starving, amen. We give a good amount, my wife and I. Sometimes our faith promise is bigger than our tithe, amen. But God's always provided for me and always met my needs. It goes beyond what you think is possible. We had a lady in our church, our pastor's mom, grew up in a Pentecostal setting. And my pastor grew up in a Pentecostal setting, and then he became a Baptist, amen. He became a good Baptist, I say. Praise the Lord, my pastor's a good man. But his mom moved into his mother-in-law apartment that he built in his house for her to stay in, and took care of her until she passed on. I was preaching on tithing and faith promise missions one Sunday back at the conference, and she came up to me a year later. I was preaching at that conference again in our home church, and a year later she came up to me. She said, Pastor Mike, and I said, yeah. She said, I'm going to tell you. She said, my husband for years told me when he retired, we could not afford to tithe. We couldn't afford to give. We just couldn't do it. She says, but boy, last year you were preaching. She says, I got under conviction. No, she's 86 or 87 years old at this time. And I'm thinking, well, okay, sister. And she says, I started tithing. I started giving to missions. And she says, I couldn't tell you how God has blessed me. I could not explain to you what God has done for me and how He has met my needs over and over and over and over. We just need to trust God, amen. Well, it says they went beyond. It goes beyond what you think is possible. The second thought, look at chapter 8 with me, chapter 8, verse 8 again. He says, In fact, let me just read down to that verse. I want to read verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, let's back up. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. And then we'll go on with that in just a minute. It begins with a personal commitment. They committed themselves to the Lord. They gave themselves to the Lord first. That's where the prayer comes in. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, how would you have me to be involved? Lord, what would you consider for me to do in this area of faith promise? What would you consider for me to do? It goes way beyond that. What would you consider me to do, Lord, with my life? Lord, what would you consider me to do with missions? What would you consider me to do with my witness? What would you consider me to do with my faithfulness in the house of God? It goes so much more beyond than just giving. As he talks in here later, he's talking about grace, the grace of giving, this grace that he's talking about, and what God wants to do with it in your life and my life. It begins with a personal commitment to God. Look what he says there in the end of that verse again. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. It continues as a commitment to help. See, to give themselves to the Lord first, and then it continues as a commitment to help others. And so sometimes that help even, and I don't want to run into this too deep, but it might not hurt, but it goes farther than just giving the missions. Sometimes you see somebody in the house of God, in your church, or a neighbor that they need some help. Maybe they need some financial help that you know about, but because you do everything else, you're not willing to help. Maybe you just need to take a $100 bill and stick it in an envelope and stick it in underneath their door someday. Stick it in their mail slot. Amen? When they're not around, watch when they're not there. It's sort of like it reminds me of the gentleman that said, what did he say? He said he was destitute and hurting and he was an atheist, and he says, I don't believe in God. I don't care anything about God. And his neighbor lady knew that he was hurt, so she took a bunch of groceries and she put them over on his doorstep, you know, one day. And he came out and found them groceries there, and he picked them up and took them in the house. And he made his statement to her later on about the same thing. She said, well, about those groceries you got? Well, would you put them there? She said, yeah. She said, I told you God didn't care about me. She said, well, why do you think God had me put them there? If God don't care about you, amen. So sometimes it goes beyond just giving the mission. It goes beyond and just giving to your church. It goes farther beyond past that for individuals. And if anybody's a giving church, I want to say this church is a giving church. Amen. I want to say that. So I don't think I'm beating you up because you don't give. You are giving. Let me encourage you with this tonight. Amen. To do what God would have you to do, to His honor, to His glory, for His purpose. It is not only for someone else to be involved in, but it is for all of us to be involved in. Look at verse 6 of this text. In so much that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would finish in you the same grace also. Let me make that statement one more time. It's not only for someone else to be involved in, but it is also for all to be involved in. So he says again, listen to verse 6. In so much that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you that same grace also. As you've begun this, now let's finish this. He says, later on he makes this statement, they made a commitment, but they never kept that commitment yet. A year earlier he said, now go and do it. You know, the church in Corinth could not look at the Macedonian church and say, they could not look at them and say this, well, they could afford it, so let them do the giving. No, he's challenging the Corinthians church to do the giving now. They could say, well, Macedonia did this. It looks like they can afford it. Let them continue to do it. Why should we do anything? And I've heard that mentality in churches sometimes. I've heard people in churches. And I know a few millionaires out there over the years. And it always amazed me that people say, well, let them pay for the work in the church. Let them pay for this. Brother Heflin had over in Oriskany Falls, New York, 8 years ago, they bought a building. His church bought a building. They rented a building, renovated two storefronts. He was just at that conference up there with you all in whatever that conference is called. Anyway, in New Jersey, amen. So, yeah. So anyway, you see, my mind's gone anymore. Anyway, he was just there. But when they started that church 8 years ago, Pat, it'll be 8 years in November. They rented that building, renovated the whole thing, both put Sunday school room, sanctuary, and they did that beginning November. By the next November, they paid $115,000 cash for an old factory. And then they put another 30 or so thousand in that or more to renovate it. He said we had to borrow just a little bit, but that money got paid off just that quick. It wasn't that very long. Well, just 3 years ago, he started building a gymnasium. Or 4 years ago, he started building a gymnasium. And he got that gymnasium done. He had a guy at his church who's rather... He doesn't come to Clarence's church, but he comes for all the meetings and that, and he likes Clarence. And he said, let me pay for your gym floor. And Clarence told him this, is no. He says, I want my people need to be involved. See, it would have been just as easy for him to say, go ahead and do it, and let the burden off the people. No, he said, no, my people need to be involved, amen. And he would do, maybe different than I would, but he does it sometimes, a give it all Sunday. Amen. And where they give it all, man. I'm telling you, I would pray about that one. Amen. Amen. How many of you would pray about that? Hallelujah. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. But boy, if God put it on your heart, then that's what you do. Amen. When you talk about give it all, then you don't empty out your bank account, but you're giving your paycheck for the week. You're giving, like that. And so. They put the gym floor in, and here's what Clarence told him. He said, now, if there's anything left, I'll let you take care of it. But my people need to give. Amen. And we need to learn. We need to give. We need to continue on. It's not good enough to say, well, I know what this guy gives. I know what this guy gives. I know what they do, And I know they're going to increase, so I don't have to do any more for missions. Let them do what they're doing, because that's what they're going to do. Amen. We know they're going to give extra money every year, so... No, my friend, that's not how it works. God intends much more for you. They could, they could afford it, so let them do it, the giving. By the way, it's not only for those who have in a church to tithe and give offerings and support missions, it's for all of us to be involved in. All of us to be involved in, amen. Every one of us to be involved in. I remember Pastor Beach years ago when I was under his ministry before Pastor Swearinger came and took our church. Pastor Beach, I was under his ministry with him for 22 years as an associate and a missionary evangelist of that church. And then Pastor Swearinger has been with us for 24, 25 years now. And he's been 12 or 13 years as our senior pastor now. I thank the Lord. I remember Pastor Beach coming to me one year. We do a stewardship month, Pastor, every year. And we did. I don't know if we're still doing that because I'm never there that time of the year now. But Pastor Beach used to do a stewardship month. So everything was on finances for 1 month. I mean, Sunday school classes, this is what you're going to teach, this is what you're going to do. And he would just, let's start with the children, amen. So he'd begin all the way up. And so we would do that in the church. And so he came to me one Sunday. Actually, he came to me on a Monday, and I was in his office. We met, had staff meeting on Monday. And he said, Mike, he said, listen, I want you to preach next Sunday morning and prove tithe out of the New Testament. Okay, So I started studying the scriptures, and I came across Matthew 23:23. Where he says, you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, yet ye have forgotten the way in your matters of law. Justice, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other unto. The other was a tithe, amen. That's what he's talking about. That, why? Because justice, mercy, and faith deal with the heart. He's talking about the heart issue. And by the way, he's quoting that out of the book of Micah. You go and study that out. He's coming from the book of Micah when he makes those statements. So I preached that message, and I had a guy come to me afterwards that morning. He caught me in the back of the church. When they disagree with you, they don't wait until you're alone. They wait until a bunch of people around you, amen. And so he comes to me, and I knew George very well, and he was a good friend in a way. I mean, he's always questioning things, So he came to me and said, I don't agree with you, preacher. I don't think it's tithing. He said, I think it's giving out of the abundance of what God has given to you. I said, you're absolutely right with part of that. I said, well, let me ask you a question, George. See, I knew where he worked, and I knew how much he made, because I know what guys made where he worked. He made good money. And then he also ran a roofing business after work on the side. I knew what he was making on his roofing business, what it cost to put a roof on back then. And they were doing two or three roofs a week sometimes, And so I said, okay, George, I said, now if that's true, if what you say to me is true, then you should be giving much more than a tithe. How's that working out for you? And that ended the conversation right there. He turned around and walked away. I could see him starting to get red from here up to the top of his head. He didn't like that. God just confronted him with the truth of the Word of God. Amen. If you say that, then you should be doing more than tithe. Amen. But by the way, we should be anyway. We should be anyway. Well, to verse 10 and verse 11 with me as we come down through there. Again, I'm going to back up just a second and go to verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, he says, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to see to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. This grace of giving is what he's dealing with here. He said, I speak not by commandment. Otherwise, he said, this is an order that you do this now, period. He's making a statement. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove, watch, and to prove the sincerity of your love. That's verse 8. Let me say this. It's a command. It's not a command, but it's proof of your sincerity. It's not a command, but it is a proof of your sincerity. So there is no doubt. There is no doubt to me that they loved Paul and other believers. Amen. They loved Paul and he loved other believers. But Paul says, "Let's see how sincere your love is. You say you're going to do this, and you say you love us, and you say you love them." Paul says in verse 10, "And herein I give my advice." Can I make this statement? I believe that Paul's advice was always Holy Spirit led. There are some out there today. I want to be very careful of this, but there are some out there that I've heard guys make statements that Paul just made that statement, but it wasn't Holy Spirit, so therefore it means nothing. He says, "I speak to you as men," you know, and things like that. No, Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to make those statements. If he wasn't led by the Holy Spirit to make those statements, then why do we read the Bible, amen? If I can't believe every jot and tittle in this old King James Bible, then I can't believe any of it. I believe the whole thing. I believe the whole thing. Not just part, and not just in part, but every word, every jot, every tittle, amen. You have to believe. You have to believe what the Word of God says. He says it was promised. Look at verse 10 and verse 11. Verse 9 first. He said, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Now, I'm not saying you have to go through poverty to become rich, but he said he went through poverty that you might be rich, as he gave you Jesus Christ. He gave you eternal life. He gave you salvation through the blood. Now, watch verse 10 and verse 11. "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." He said, this is expedient. This is what you should do. He said, here's my advice, amen. Here's what I'm telling you. By the way, his advice is also led by the Holy Spirit of God, amen. I'm telling you, here's what you ought to do. Now, in verse 11, "Therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." So it was promised before, and then the statement is this, just keep the promise. Keep your promise, amen. If you made a commitment to Faith Promise Missions, keep your promise. We had someone, I believe this. We had someone in our church one time that left the church and quit giving to Faith Promise Missions. Your Faith Promise Missions is not a commitment to the church. Your Faith Promise Missions is a faith promise to the Lord and to those missionaries. When I was pastoring in Michigan back in the mid-80s, and when I left the church, I had made a commitment. I started Faith Promise Missions giving in that church. In fact, I had a revival meeting when I first got there. After I was there about 3 months, I had a fellow come in from Honduras. It was out of Texas, big old boy by the name of Joe Mays. And I told Joe, I said, "Now listen, the first 3 days on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I want you to hit a revival. Hit it hard. Just hit it hard, man. I mean, just beat that thing to death." And well, he did. And I said, "But on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I want you to preach about Faith Promise Missions." I said, "On Friday, we're going to start Faith Promise Missions and hand off cards. We're going to take them up Sunday." So that's what we did. We started Faith Promise Missions in the church. And praise the Lord that God allowed us to be able to do that in that work, in that ministry at that time. But I had people that would fight, that fought me against that, you know. And I knew what some could do and what some could give, much more than what I could do or much more than I can give. You're welcome to come in and sit down if you want to. All right. Sorry. No, you're all right. You can come and sit down and listen. And yeah, glad you're here tonight. Thanks for coming. All right. And so, you know, we started that and people began to give and do what was right. But we had a guy in our home church that, in fact, I had a guy there did the same thing. But we had a guy in our home church that... was involved in it, and when he left, he stopped giving his faith promise missions. So when I left that church, Calvary Baptist in St. Louis, Michigan, I said I'm shepherding a shepherd, amen. And so when I left that church to go into evangelism and went back to Faith Baptist Church in Muskegon, Michigan, it was in April of the year. We did their faith promise the 1st of January. So I continued until that next, actually we did it in November. I continued until the following November to send my missions back to that church. My tithe went to my church I was going to now, but my missions went back there. And then as soon as November came, we started Faith Promise Missions in our home church because I was done with that commitment there. We need to stay committed, amen. We need to do what's right as the children of God in our giving. It was a promise before. He said, now keep your promise. Just continue to do what's right. We had a guy that quit in our church in Muskegon, and he left, him and his wife, and they told pastor, whenever you hear terms like this, we're going to take the summer off. They were both teachers in our church. We're going to take the summer off. We're going to do some vacation, pastor. We'll see you. We'll be in and out. Once they made that statement and left, they never came in and out, amen. Never came in and out. That was a terrible thing to lie like that to the preacher, amen. Boy, some people are just liars, amen. Just be honest and say, preacher, we're leaving. We're not coming back. Don't do that, by the way, here, amen. Don't do that here. Watch what he says in verse 11 again. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For, verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Listen, a willing mind, it must be a settled mind, a willing mind. Otherwise, you don't give out of, we're going to see here in a minute, out of necessity. Amen. You don't give grievously. He said you have to have it in your mind. It has to be in your heart as a believer in Christ that you're going to support the missions effort of the local church. He said it must be settled. Must be settled in your mind. And look with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 17 just for a minute. I know I haven't gone anywhere else, but right here, this is a little bit different of a message for me, brother. Amen. And but I do want to look at some other scriptures with you, because here sometimes the down to verse chapter 17 down to let's go down to verse 11. Now, of course, Paul leaves Thessalonica, they send him out of there, and I'm trying to where was it he went to from Thessalonica. I'm trying to think. My mind just skipped me here. I just skipped my mind where I was going to go with this. But I know where I'm going to go with it. But anyway, the next town that he goes into over here, verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, and coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now here's what's interesting about that, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They just left Thessalonica. They almost got arrested in Thessalonica. Some got brought between the priests of Thessalonica. And he said, but these are more noble. These in Berea are more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, watch, and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Don't take it by word of mouth. Get into the Bible and study the Bible about giving, amen. Giving, 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 giving. And find out what the Word of God says about giving. And I tell you what, if you look up, you just look up giving and gifts and sacrifice, what God would have you to do, it's going to change your mind about your giving. It'll change your mind because you'll see what God has for you to do as a believer in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 11 says, now therefore perform, verse 11 again, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance out of that which ye have. Verse 12 again, for if there be first a willing mind is accepted according to the man hath, and not according to the hath not. In chapter 8 verse 19 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 down to verse 19, he makes this statement, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, and declaration of your ready mind. It was something that was purposed by the people, purposed by the church purposed by what God would have them to do. Chapter 9 and verse 2 says, "For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many." He says, your zeal, boy, your excitement about giving, your excitement about faith promise, your excitement about, boy, I tell you, when you take on a new missionary, you ought to, when you vote to take one on, preacher, that'd be hallelujah, amen. That'd be glory to God, amen. Give with a cheerful attitude, a right attitude. Look at chapter 9 and verse 7 with me, where he makes this statement. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, now watch, not grudgingly, and or of necessity, not that I have to do it because I'm guilty, I got to do it because everybody else is doing it. No, he said, listen, according as you purpose in your heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. When I was back in Faith Baptist in our home church one time, Pastor Beach was still our pastor, and I was preaching on giving that Sunday. And in fact, I was preaching on that verse that Sunday, and I made a statement. I said, folks, I said, listen, next Sunday morning when Pastor Beach comes in and says it's time to take up the offering, you have to stand up and say, hallelujah, glory to God, amen. Throw your hands in the air and shake them and say, praise the Lord, amen. Them stinking cowards wouldn't do it, but they did it Sunday night, amen. He said, we had too many visitors Sunday morning, we didn't want to scare people off. Our church, brother, is just a little more conservative. Not me. I drive them nuts when I get there, amen. Man, I'm sitting on the platform of the preacher, and they start singing the song. I'm like, amen, amen. I start shouting glory. The choir is right behind me singing. I get excited, amen. And people out there go like this. That's good. Brother Mike's having another fit, amen. Hallelujah. And we do have a good church, and we do get some ameners in our church. I pick on them all the time, amen. But the boy of God is good, isn't he? So watch it again, verse 7 of that chapter 9. The 2 Corinthians. He said, every man according as he purposes his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Don't feel guilty. He said, I'm going to make a statement here, and I want to be careful with it because I don't want you to misinterpret me. But if you have to give because you feel it's just a sense of duty, then your heart's not where it ought to be. Your heart needs to be in it. Amen. So I'm not saying if you think it's a sense of duty, don't give. Give anyway, amen. But I'm simply saying that give because that's what God wants you. Get your heart in the right place, amen. Get your heart in the right place. Verse 7 again, he says that you can give cheerfully. Get excited about your giving. Be happy that you can give. Be happy that you can put some money in the offering plate. And look at verse 8 with me. He says, and God, watch, I love this one. It's provided by God because watch what he says. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. All grace. Otherwise, and that's more than just God's riches at Christ's expense, amen. That's more than just God, well, it is God working in your heart in such a way that's what the word grace means, manifesting itself on the outward, showing itself forth. He said, he'll make all grace abound toward you. He said, otherwise, if you're going to give like you want to give, now, he's not saying I'm going to give you all kinds of money. I'm going to make you rich. He said, I'm going to take care of your needs. So he'll take care of your needs. We just need to trust him. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You know, missions is a good work. It's a good work. And it's good to be involved in it. It's good to give to it. Amen. You say, Brother Mike, you're preaching to the wrong crowd. No, I'm not. Listen, get involved. If you're not, get involved. And if you are, stay where you're at. Amen. And then add to it. Add to it. Let God do what he wants to do in your life as a believer in Christ. Take encouragement in this. Because if you're doing this, you're on the right page. You're doing this, you're on the right side. Amen. You're doing this, you're going God's way and not your way. And that's what we need, to go God's way and not our way. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you two questions again. And I always ask you these questions, I know. But the first question is this. Are you saved? Are you saved? Because, you know, missions giving is great. But the first mission is you knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Coming to the salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ. Has there been a time in your life when you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive you and to save you, and that you know your sins are forgiven, and that you have a relationship with him, and that your resting place is eternal heaven? Now, if you don't know that, I'd like to pray for you. And my prayer can't save you. My prayer won't save you, but I'll pray for you that you'd be obedient to the things of God. How about it right now? Anybody at all just slip your hand up and say, that's me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anybody at all? I'm not sure. Second question is this. Mike, would you just pray for me? Because there's something in that message tonight that I needed. And maybe it was encouragement. Maybe it was just a challenge. I don't know. But would you just pray for me tonight? How about just slip your hand up? God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can put them down. God bless you. Amen. Anybody else tonight? Anybody else? Just pray for me. God spoke to my heart for that tonight. But Father, I thank you for these who raised their hand, Lord. You know their heart. You know the need, Father. You know the desire. You know, Father, exactly where you spoke the hearts at tonight, Father. I can see the hands, God, but Father, you see the heart. And God, how precious that is that you would even consider us for salvation, let alone continuing to allow us to be a part of the ministry of a local church, Father. God, thank you so much for what you've done in our lives. Help these tonight, Father, as they honor and glorify you with decisions they make. In Christ's precious name, amen. You stand at our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And you know every night the Lord spoke to your heart. Why don't you slip out right now? Slip out right now and just come to the altar. We'll take care of that between you and the Lord tonight. How about it? Need to be saved? Let's stand at our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's stand at our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. And the Lord spoke to your heart. Why don't you slip out and come? Amen. Just slip out and come and take that to the Lord as a child of God. If you're not saved, why don't you come? Let's show you from the Bible how you can be born again and washed in the blood. How about it? Saved? Are you saved? Who do you want to be? Why don't you slip out and come? All right. That's it. If you need to come, you come. If you need to come, you come. Be seated, and let's just take our seat and let's be quiet for a few moments while pastor's dealing with this one. Be in prayer.
good to have Rowan back in town, and he comes with a heavy heart and has accepted Christ as his own personal Amen. Savior tonight. Amen. And so we want to just rejoice with Rowan. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's stand and sing "There's a New Name Written Down in Glory." Praise the Lord. Appreciate the message tonight. Appreciate our faith promise. And appreciate Roland coming out and hearing the tail end of that message. And God's good. I don't know this song. "I Was Once a Sinner." Is it in the book? All right, praise the Lord. It's not even our whole book here. We'll make it up there. What is it? Page 47 in our song book, I guess. Hallelujah. It's been a while since we dug this song out. This is our new song book here. Page 47. Hallelujah. "I was once a sinner, then I came pardon to receive for my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that He always kept His word. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam." Praise the Lord. Appreciate again a new name written down in glory. And it's good to be in the Lord's house tonight.
I think it's page 349.
I don't know. That's where I made up all the words. We don't want to look up and find out what they are. Was it 349?
Yep.
There it is. Yes, indeed. I think that's pretty close, huh? "I was once a sinner, but I came pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that He always kept His word. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home, for there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam." Father, praise You. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You that we could meet tonight. Thank You for faith promise. Thank You again, Father, that You raise not money, but Christians through faith, through promise. And I pray again, Father, that You bless each one that's here and heard the message again, that You tug on our heart anew, afresh. And Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You again, Father, for Rowan coming for salvation tonight. And Father, we'll just praise You and thank You for Your hand on each one as we close out the service. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, fellowship with one another for a minute. Praise the Lord.